Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
And I'm Brittany Pacheco, and we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. We are here today to talk about Season 2, Episode 2 of the Disney Plus Marvel Cinematic Universe series, Loki. The episode today we're talking about is titled Breaking Brad. So, love the alliteration. Obviously, it's a play on Breaking Bad, the AMC series. Before I get Brittany's thoughts on the show, I want to mention two things. First of all, Amber, who is in the chat, she's not able to join us today. Unfortunately, the TVA is messing with her timeline, i.e. she has an internet issue in her area. So hopefully she'll be back next week, or maybe she can join us later in the show if her internet's back. We definitely would love to have Amber come back because she's a great addition to the show, and it was great to have her on the show. Second thing I want to mention, I want to clean up something from last week that I said. I said that the show was the 10th Disney Plus series for Marvel, and I was wrong about that. And I knew once I said it, I knew I was wrong.
You made a mistake.
Oh, I make lots of mistakes. Now,
yeah, we know.
I don't think anybody pointed this out, but I caught it immediately when I said it, and I was like, that's not right. So obviously, Loki was the third show for Disney Plus, for third Marvel show. It's the only one so far that's got a second season. So it's the 10th season of live action Marvel. Yeah.
Okay. That almost sounded wrong too, but that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
it's not its 10th season, sir. Stop.
No. I'm saying that.
I know.
Yeah. So it's the 10th season of Disney Plus Marvel cinematic stuff. But yeah, it's the second season of Loki, obviously. So anyway, just want to clean that up. Brittany, let's get to the episode now. Breaking Brad. What'd you think about this episode?
It was fun. You know, I actually, like I said, with the premiere, I had to rewatch this episode in order to really absorb what was happening in the story. I missed some things during the first watch. So doing the rewatch for me, at least, has been really helpful to pick up like on different little, not so much Easter eggs, but just little things that are said here and there, things that are done here and there. And it kind of helped make sense of things, because after the first watch, it's like, what did I just watch? And apparently that was something a few thousand other people across social media felt as well. So I'm telling y'all, do a rewatch. It's a lot to absorb, but you know what? This second rewatch was really good. And I really was happy to see Sylvie and Loki reunite and kick some ass. Like that was kind of cool. Like, I don't know. I think they're variants of, Sylvie is a variant of Loki, of course, but it's fun to see the two paired up and, you know, wreak some havoc. And then to see kind of old Loki come back, which is something we haven't seen in a while, you know. And by old Loki, I mean like Thor, the first movie, and Avengers Loki,
right. The
mischievous, the actual god of mischief pop out. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing and refreshing. Before we dive into it, Justin, I do want to give a shout out to someone in the chat who's been hanging out long before we started, and that's Denard Blackwood. Hey, Watcher fam, appreciate you being here. Hope you enjoy this live stream. Let us know your thoughts in the chat here below.
Yeah, Brittany, you mentioned the Loki. You know, he made the reference to Avengers and to Tony Stark. And I just want to say, like, I'm wearing my
I noticed that. That's
Iron
really
Man
cool.
Shirt. It's hard to see, but I love the references to Avengers. And of course, this Loki is the Loki, you know, this is not the same Loki that experienced Infinity War. And
right.
he's the one that was, you know, back in Endgame. He when they went back in time, right after he was detained by the Avengers, this is the one that escaped. So
This is the one from the sacred timeline. This is prime Loki, basically, as Amber had pointed out last week. And by the way, she had said, thank you, guys. My time travel knowledge is too powerful for the TVA, apparently. So,
yeah, that's what it is.
She had to be pruned.
Unfortunately, but she's going to come back. Or maybe a variant of Amber will be back next week or later on.
Give me all versions of Amber. Love her either way.
There we go.
Yep.
And of course, the sirens are on my end because I live next to a fire station. So it's just part
of my... Are you a variant of Loki and, you know, a god of mischief?
So. No. Mm-hmm.
Would explain a lot.
I'm not clever enough to be a god of mischief.
Okay, that I'll give you.
I would take god of comedy, but that's even like, that's kind of a lofty title.
That's quite lofty.
I would like to think that. But yeah, but no, this episode, Brittany, you mentioned that some people were kind of having issues with this episode.
Yeah.
And... you know, like I heard some, I read some criticism. I heard some stuff on podcasts, and it seemed like a lot of people did not like this episode. And a lot of the critics that I listened to or read, they've seen the first four episodes. This is a six episode season. So they've seen most of the season. And a lot of them said that the second episode was the weakest episode. And I got to say, like, I like totally disagree. I thought this episode was great. I thought the acting in this episode was awesome. There are so many great scenes, and we're going to go through them.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to highlight the actor who plays Brad Wolf, you know, also known as X5.
Mm-hmm.
Rafael Casal. Had not heard of him before Loki season two.
Yeah, because he wasn't in Loki season one, was he? Or was he?
So if he was, he was not, you know, on camera. He wasn't prominent.
He was on the DL.
Yeah. I mean, there's okay. Like hunters and other X whatever right. around that we don't really know their name, I don't think.
Right.
Maybe he was one of those, but I don't really remember him because I didn't rewatch season one again. You know, we went through season one extensively a couple of years ago when it came out, but I thought he was great. The interrogation scenes, there's a couple of those.
Oh yeah.
Great. But everybody involved, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And Brittany, I just want to get your take. Let's start off, because I want to kind of go by scene by scene as much as we can. I thought the beginning of this episode was fantastic. Like,
yeah,
to start out, they're in London. And they're, you know, they're on the sacred timeline, 1977. And we see that Brad Wolf, you know, he left, or he went to the timeline, and he's living his life as an actor. And he's starring in this movie called Zaniac, which, by the way, Zaniac is a character from the comics. He's a Thor villain. Yeah. So I like how they chose a character that I guess they have no intention of ever using for anything besides like a little like inside joke, but that was a pretty cool thing to have Zaniac. And, you know, Loki and Mobius are after trying to track him down so they can find Sylvie. And the chase through the streets of London and through buildings and stuff, that was awesome. Brittany, what was your take on just visually and just height of that scene played out?
Well, it was cool to finally see the final of why they were in London. Right. Because there were a lot of like behind the scenes, a lot of sneak peek type photos that were dropped. And I'm like, oh, this is cool because it's 1977. It's in London. Tom Hiddleston was born in Westminster, London in 1981. So it's kind of funny. Like this is all happening prior to Tom Hiddleston's birth. But to see Loki and Mobius like in 1970s tuxedos and what have you. And let me just say, Amber will agree with me. I know she will agree with me. The amount of swag that was dripping from Loki, Tom Hiddleston, our bad boy, like when he finally is able to catch up with Mobius and X5 or Brad in the alleyway, or it's kind of like, I guess you could say it's an alleyway, and he's able to use his powers to kind of slow down Brad, right? And he's just walking. I mean, like, can we cue in Staying Alive? Because that's all I was thinking as he's walking down that alleyway. She's like, Anyway, so that scene that you're talking about, the chase scene with Brad Wolf and what have you, this is where we really start to kind of get hints of Loki from Thor and Loki from Avengers coming back. He's playing with the magic. He's creating these people who seem to kind of make Brad a little nervous, where he feels he needs to fight them off. And then when he takes the swing, he, you know, cuts right through him. And of course it's Loki using his magic. He duplicates himself, or triplicates. Is that a word? Triplicate. Anyway, he duplicates himself.
Multiplies himself. Yeah.
Multiplies himself. There we go. That's the word. He multiplies himself. And not only that, this is what was really cool. The shadow play on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And you see the horns come back out, and the shadows are the ones that are able to hold down Brad. And then Mobius enters again, you know, kind of like, why did you run if you didn't do anything bad? And he talks to Loki. He's like, oh, you think the shadow play is a little too much? And that's not prime Loki. The prime Loki is off to his left. And he's like, I thought it was spot on. I'm like, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Because, you know, you're you. So that was a really great tease into what would be the rest of the episode of seeing old Loki kind of resurface again. I don't know. It was brilliant. I thought that was a great way to grab your attention. And I don't know if you caught this, Justin, but when Mobius and Loki first entered into London, and they're having that discussion about, no, Sylvie's not here. It's not apocalyptic. It's not end of the world type. And they're walking past like these movie posters. There's a poster of, oh God, what's his name? The actor, well, actor who's an Eternal from Eternals.
Oh, Kingo.
Kingo. Thank you. Yeah. His movie poster's on there too. And I'm like, okay, that's a great little Easter egg, you know, tying in, you know, an Eternal to this whole universe. So yeah, like that was kind of fun. That was kind of fun.
Yeah. And he was in that poster was in another Marvel, something recently. I can't remember what I watched the video and I saw that, gosh, I can't remember what it was, but yeah, of course he's from Eternals, but it popped up. Maybe it was in Moon Knight. It popped up. There is something else. Maybe I don't know, Miss Marvel. I don't know. The same poster was seen in another MCU property. So.
Oh, joining us in the chat is Zach, Dead Tech Zach. Appreciate you being here. Eternals was great. I'll accept no further questions. Dude, I think you know why.
I didn't hate it. Like, and honestly, like go long. Back and find our review.
It's
a lot of people watch that review, which we appreciate. So go check that out. It was a fun one. Character by character. We broke them down and everything. So definitely check that out. If you're an Eternals fan, or if you're not, just go check it out for the, for the comedy of it, go check it out. But,
right. And also Rahig is here in the chat. We appreciate you coming back here. He said he was surprised when he saw the moment where Loki meets Sylvie. He thought he was going to go and ask for free burgers.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I would have done the same at 1982 prices. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, just load me up with those mini like Happy Meal burgers from McDonald's.
That is your go-to for road trips, isn't it?
Yeah. Cause you can eat those while you're driving. They're like mm-hmm. perfect for driving. Cause they don't get messy. It's like, it's genius. Seriously. As Brad Wolf says, he's like, you know, you can pack this food up, you know, later on they're at McDonald's. He's like, you know, it's very packable or whatever. And
like, let's go.
Transportable. Yeah. But back to the opening scene. I thought it was like a great way to kick off this episode. A lot of action. You know, I think they actually were in London, like the filming.
Yes.
It looked like legit locations. And
absolutely.
Like I said, this Rafael Casal was great in this episode. But then you have the star power of Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson. Like, it's like, this is like, you know, for Marvel TV on Disney Plus, this is about as good as it's probably going to get, I think. I mean, because I think, you know, I've talked about this before, like the quote unquote downfall of Marvel recently to me is more about the inclusion of Disney Plus, like putting the Marvel cinematic universe on streaming TV has hurt Marvel way more than it's helped it. But this episode I thought was a great example of how it can actually work. And this is really good stuff. So
for sure. So to let you know, Justin, that because it was on location in London, it's the Leopold Theater that they were inside. So that's, I believe that's a real place.
Okay.
Didn't get to see that for myself when I was in London, but I believe it.
So moving on, they capture Brad. Loki and Mobius capture Brad, take him back to the TVA. And you know, we get to the first interrogation scene. A lot of great stuff in this scene. Brad's
got a lot of comebacks. Like,
he's going right at Loki, coming right for his head.
Right for the jugular. Yeah. My God.
You know, he's got the time collar on and he's basically telling everybody, like, look, no one here has the authority to question me. And then he tells Loki, he's like, look, you make everything worse. You know, you make everything worse for Mobius. You make everything worse for B-15. And you make everything worse for your mother, which obviously Frigga, of course, died. Which, shots fired there. Then he straight up just says, Loki, you're a loser and a villain. You know, you're trying to be a hero, you know, you're a villain. You've done some terrible, terrible things to lots of people.
Yeah. And it's then, like, you're good at being a villain. Do that. And it's like,
yeah,
say less.
Right. And then Brad keeps saying that, like, none of this is real anyway, which, you know, valid point. Okay. Yeah. Valid point. Thought that was great stuff. You know, when Brad, you know, after he gets done firing on Loki, he aims it at, takes aim at Mobius and he says, you know, do you even know who you are on the timeline? Do you care? Mm-hmm. Like, do you think about what you're missing out on out there? And, you know, they took our lives you're nothing here. You know, you wake up and then Mobius like snaps and slaps Brad.
Which is funny because he was telling Loki to not let Brad get under his skin, you know, because Brad is an asshole. Like he's going to talk a lot of shit, basically. By the way, there's a lot more cussing in this season than I remember.
Well, just this episode.
And just this episode, but just period. Like, I don't remember that there being this much potty mouth talk in season one. I'm here for it, though. I'm fine with it.
Well, you know,
I cuss like a sailor.
We finally got the first full-on F-bomb in the MCU with the Guardians Volume 3. So I guess now the floodgates are open. It's just like, let it fly. So here we go.
Cast me, MCU. Cast me. I'm your girl for it.
So after, you know, Brittany, as you mentioned, Brad got under both Mobius and Loki's skin. To cool down, they go get some key lime pie, which another great scene. Mobius, he loves the pies. Later on, he has a different kind of pie. He has an apple pie from McDonald's, which I am very familiar with those. I'll just put it that way. I've had a few of those in my day. maybe even recently. I can neither confirm or deny that. Yeah. But you know, then we get the, as we mentioned before, the Tony Stark reference, the Avengers reference from the first Avengers movie.
Right.
And Loki tells a story and he's like, you know, sometimes our emotions get the best of us. And And then Loki, you know, kind of picking up on what Brad was saying to Mobius, Loki then asks Mobius, he's like, look, you know, are you ever curious about your life? Like what you were supposed to, you know, the life you're supposed to lead, you know, on the timeline before all this was taken away from you. And Mobius just like shuts it down and says like, no, he's like, the TVA is the only life I've known. I like it. It got me this pie. You know, like he's definitely just
thank the person, whoever created it, so he could have that pie.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
What'd you think about how the pie looked? I thought it looked pretty good.
Key lime pie is not that green, first and foremost. Right. Like, I understand that the hints of green occasionally, because this is Loki after all. You associate green and gold. Hello, look at our, you know, backdrop here. Also why I'm wearing a green sweater. So yeah, it's very indicative of Loki, but that I don't particularly care for pie, let alone key lime pie. I know that's like blasphemous words that's being uttered, but it's true. And the pie did look quite appetizing, and obviously it put Mobius in a better mood. And it was really interesting to see just this side of Loki in general, of him becoming someone who's a little bit more concerned for others and not being all about himself, because I think he's realized in a way that by being so self-centered and self-obsessed, it's put him in the position that he's in. And so now he has the opportunity to do some good and start by helping, I guess you could say, the closest thing he has to a friend, and that's Mobius, right? Mobius clearly is upset. And when Loki's trying to reason with him about why wouldn't you want to know what happened on the sacred timeline? Like, it could have been something bad. And Mobius makes a great point about what if it was something good? Like, why would I want that bouncing around in my head, knowing that I had a good life in the timeline and then I got plucked from it and then I'm brought here? So I understand I have to have closure for just like everything. I can't function otherwise, and it's really difficult when you don't get that closure. So I totally understand where Mobius is coming from, where he says he just doesn't want to know. Like, the less he knows, the better. He can continue with his life as he knows it, which is the TVA. He seems to be content with it, but I'm pretty sure that inkling of wanting to know is going to get a little bit more. It's going to dig under his skin more so than Brad did. And he's going to want to know, and he's going to go find out at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Amber has a question there. What was Mobius's glorious purpose? I think it's just to like get.
Wow.
To say, wow. Yeah. No, it's his glorious purpose. I think it's just to get a Sea-Doo and enjoy a, you know, Saturday afternoon on the lake or something, you know, like that's what.
He's got to get on that jet ski.
Yeah. So I think,
do it.
Yeah. And we're going to see that this season.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
For sure. Yeah. No, it was a great exchange between Loki and Mobius for sure. Because I recall another scene from season one where I think it was Mobius kind of trying to reason with Loki. And it's that really wonderful, infamous scene of, yes, that's sad. Anyway, so it's, you know, Loki just being Loki and just very self-centered and very like, okay, but we got to do this because X, Y, Z. Whereas Loki, again, is clearly a little bit more considerate, especially when it comes down to Mobius.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone through a lot since the beginning of season one. So
what did you think of Mobius when he obviously did snap when Brad was you know, riding him? Mobius like slaps the crap out of Brad, but then calls him a silly man. You're a silly man or a silly boy or something like that. It was just, yeah. I was like, that just sounds so childish. I don't know. If that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. You know, it's considering like you mentioned a little bit ago, there's so much like adult language in this episode. And then for him to, he gets mad and slaps the guy and calls him a silly man. That was,
he's like, you're a silly man. And I'm like, what?
And before he slaps Brad, Brad calls him a nowhere man, which I wonder if that's like the ultimate put down for somebody in the TVA. Cause you're,
ooh.
I guess you're perpetually stuck in this time loop of trying to preserve all of time. So
that would make some sense.
If you're a nowhere man, you have no purpose, you know, standing anywhere. So that might be the ultimate put down. So
yeah. Yikes.
So after Mobius and Loki share some key lime pie, they devise a plan for their second interrogation of Brad. They threaten to torture Brad with this machine, which I can't really explain besides it's just like, you know, there's a controller for it and you can put someone in a cube and you can, you know, to torture them or to put pressure on them, you can decrease the size of the cube. And we see, if you're claustrophobic, this was a tough watch because, they put Brad in a small cube, Loki, because the plan where Mobius walks out.
The stool smaller than what it was.
Yeah.
And I'm a little person.
Yeah. I did like the part because, you know, in the first interrogation, Brad throws it in Loki's face. Like, you know, you're not a hero. You're a villain. Be a villain. That's what you're good at. And then when Loki, you know, is threatening Brad and he has Brad very frightened, you know, Loki throws it back in his face. He's like, you know, I'm not trying to be a hero. I'm a villain, remember? And like, you know, then he puts the cube gets smaller and smaller. You see Brad's like elbows and knees up against the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's running out of room. And, you know, Loki keeps talking. He's like, you know, because I've done awful, you know, terrible, awful things. And he just keeps shrinking the box. And, you know, Brad finally gives in and says he knows where Sylvie is. He knows her location. And so what was your take on that whole interrogation scene and Loki, you know, threatening him? Like, cause I guess he would eventually would have killed him. Like if he got any smaller, right? I mean,
I think Mobius and at least Mobius knew X5 well enough to know that he does have a breaking point, right? He's hard to crack, but he will crack. And that's something that even, B-15 said as well when they brought him in. So it's what is the breaking point, right? When you're on the verge of death by the hands of the person that you really crossed. I mean, Brad starts apologizing, basically saying, listen, I said some really hurtful things earlier. Like I said something about your mom and I shouldn't have, but like, let's get past this Mobius, you know, kind of thing, right? He's pleading for help. And I mean, immediately I knew that this was a plan, right? I knew this was a device of Loki and Mobius.
Yeah.
But Mobius played his part well in the sense of not being able to get to Brad, right? It's just like, wait a minute. Like, if Loki was able to lock this door from the inside, you know, why isn't it that Brad hasn't been able to get out? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I thought the same thing. Yeah.
I was just like, this is weird. But you know, the pleading Mobius and Loki just, you know, really taunting Brad and just kind of like, well, I'm not sure quite sure how to use it. And you know, oh, look, it works. And then he gets the remote and he starts playing around with the knobs and buttons and really making Brad nervous. It was great because that's the Loki that we've seen in the past, right? The one who likes to kind of play with his food before he devours it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, of course, I knew. I was like, well, Loki's really not going to kill this guy. At least I hoped that he wasn't going to. But at the same time, it was just really great to see Loki be Loki again, the god of mischief. And he lived up to that moment, especially with breaking Brad of oh, look, I just unintentionally said the title. 2 points for me. Breaking Brad to reveal the true nature of why he was in the sacred timeline. It's because he ditched Dox and all the other hunters and whatever it was that they were doing. But he did find Sylvie before he went and pursued a life of his own. And so that was the information that Loki needed, along with what was that temp pad that had been tampered with, right? It had some modifications to it. So he didn't get that information, but he got the information about Sylvie. So of course, Brad being Brad, he's like, hey guys, like, listen, I gave you the information that you wanted. You can let me go. No. You're going to show us, you know, you're not off the hook just yet. You're going to show us what's happening. Quickly here in the chat, Justin, Zach asks, Zach says, Brad is far from a man willing to die for his principles, especially as he doesn't have any. Ha. That's very true. That is extremely true.
Self-preservation, because I think he realize like he had a great life on the timeline as the star of Zaniac and possibly Zaniac 2. And who knows, the Zaniac cinematic universe could be like waiting for him. Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it right now. One other comment in the chat here from Raheeb. According to you, how do you think the series will end? Will Loki become king or will someone else happen or something else happen?
Take that first or?
I don't know about king being the word. I think he might just kind of shift his principles and realize that, you know, of course, he was never going to be a king of Asgard. I think we kind of discussed this on the last pod. But I think he's got that opportunity to maybe do some good and change the things that are happening in the TVA, especially knowing who was at the end of time, he who remains, and the variants, and what's like this war that's to come. I think he's got that opportunity to like actually prove himself to be a hero as opposed to being a villain. So how the series will end, though, hopefully not with his death. God, that would, and I mean actual, like Loki forever dead, you know,
right?
All variants included.
I don't think so.
That would be really sad. Justin.
So I think that obviously this show very soon, we're going to get Kang, He Who Remains, Victor Timely, whatever his name is in this show, we're going to get that character. And I believe this show is supposed to lead into Avengers Kang Dynasty. So I don't think that Loki season 2 will have a triumphant end for the God of Mischief, but I also don't think that he's going to die because we also seen him die, you know, the other version of him die. So honestly, I really don't know, but I do think that we're going to see the rise of Kang, and Loki will just be kind of caught up in it, much like, you know, what happened in Quantumania, where Ant-Man's like, oh, did I beat him? You know, like, I actually thought that was a really good ending to that movie. I don't know, not a ton of people loved Quantumania, but I thought it was pretty good. And I thought it was very creative the way they did that.
Yeah, I liked
it fine. Especially for, you know, for this interconnected universe that spans, you know, soon to be 33 movies and, you know, 9 good TV Lord. Series. And yeah, it's there's a lot to it. So,
yeah. Zach also asks, did he... and I'm guessing you're referring to X5. Did he kill the Brad of 616? My question is, was there a Brad, Bradley Wolf of 616? Or did he just happen to pop into, you know, right place, right time and create this persona and have a what was the interviewer's word to describe his career launch? It was meteoric.
Meteoric, yeah.
Yeah, launch. And it just seemed like it's happened very fast.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this is just like a created persona.
Could be. And I think like the 616 part of it, that's where it's kind of tricky, because 616 is like the main Marvel Comics universe.
Right.
But even in the MCU, it's sort of for debate. I know Kevin Feige, who is obviously in charge of all of this, has said it's 616. But it, you know, if you saw Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, they make a reference to Doctor Strange, and they make a reference to No Way Home taking place in, you know, Earth 19999, I believe. So it's not super clear what Earth is the established Marvel universe. I mean, I assume it's 616, but then it kind of doesn't make sense, because if the comic universe is 616, then it should be something else. So
yeah, no, you're right.
That's not clear. Yeah.
Yeah. Too many Zach nines. Zach makes a good point. Aside from there being too many nines, to me, he says if he, Brad, was a variant, he'd have to have existed. I mean, that's fair. They'd have to exist at one point or another. And this is where that all this time stuff still kind of gets a little confusing, and like the variants and being plucked and what have you. I know Amber's really great at explaining, you know, stuff when it comes
to visual aids. She's really good at
visual aids with the arms and ding, 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 that kind of thing. But yeah, it's that kind of stuff. Like, I can't really elaborate on personally because I don't fully understand it, but I do get the point about, like, if he's a variant, then he'd have to have existed. But at what point did he exist? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's very, see tricky. Amber for all your questions.
Right. She should be back next week. So,
hopefully, but she is here in the chat. She'll probably give you a quick rundown about that. No visual aids though. Sorry.
Yeah. Next week though.
Next week.
So before we see, Mobius and Loki and, what's his name? Brad Wolf go find Sylvie. We get this scene where OB is screaming. He's running around. He's like, "We're all gonna die. We're all gonna die." And then he meets Casey, who Casey's like his biggest fan, because OB wrote the TVA guidebook. And I love how he's like, "Oh, we're all gonna die." And then it's like, "Nice to meet you." And then he continues.
He's like, "Yes, I'll sign your book."
Yeah. So
not
again, like. This character, OB, Ouroboros, it seems like he's, like, going to be a villain, right? Am I crazy or, like...
I still say it's too early to tell if he's going to be a villain. Now, you did hear it if you were with us last week. I did say or suggest that OB could be a variant of Kang, He Who Remains, whatever. That would be kind of cool, in my personal opinion, because... The fact that OB wrote everything about the TVA, it's in a guidebook. And Casey obviously has worshipped that guidebook and memorized it and what have you, which is really cool. But the I don't have enough supporting evidence to suggest that he has villainous qualities just yet. I mean, when OB and Loki go visit him to ask him about the modified temp pad, that we saw that Obi was working on something with the temporal loom to try to help keep it intact because there were so many branches. I mean, he was working. So unless he's just really good at misdirection, I don't know why I keep doing that with my hand, misdirection. He plays up that character well as someone who seems to care and, you know, is trying to do whatever he can to save the TVA. I just can't say confidently that he is a villain just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't be surprised if that happens down the road.
I don't have expectations when it comes down to these shows and movies anymore, because I feel like if I have any sort of expectations, I'm just let down. So I just kind of take it for what it is. And
yeah, that's a fair point. That's a good way to look at it. Cause that has affected fans because they thought everything was, you know, something that it wasn't. And, you know, we were going to get Mr. Fantastic in WandaVision and stuff like that. And it just never panned out. So,
yeah, I definitely had a different direction of what was happening with WandaVision. We're not going to go on that tangent. Yeah. If you want to check out what we thought about WandaVision, we do have a playlist for y'all to check out those episodes. But going back to Loki, it's, I'm just taking for the story one episode at a time.
Yeah.
You know, because
that's right.
it seems like something big is going to happen, because obviously it's going to play into King Dynasty, right?
Right. Or it should. I may be totally wrong. I mean, obviously there's movies that are going to be in front of that movie.
Right.
But like, I don't know that King is going to be a Deadpool 3. In fact, I highly doubt it.
I would highly doubt that. I think there's a lot that's going on in Deadpool 3 that it kind of deals with the TVA, but it's not going to deal with that direct
villain. Right. And then like Captain America, Brave New World. I don't think we're going to see King in that either.
No.
So
probably not.
Again, I need to look back and see, or look up and see when King Dynasty is supposed to happen. But
I think he's going to be reserved for probably the movie. I really do think that. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you start putting Kang into every like other installation of Marvel, then it's not going to be special by the end of it. Right. It's going to, it makes sense to bring back Kang in this show because that's how we left off season one.
Yeah.
Right. Because he talked about his variants and all the things that were going to happen. It made sense to put him in Quantumania because that's like the first big introduction of Kang in a movie. So I don't think we're going to get a lot of a lot of him in other MCU installations until Kang Dynasty.
Yeah. I think that's right on.
Yeah.
So now let's get to another great scene. We get Loki and Sylvie's unhappy reunion. So they find out where she is. They travel there. They find her. She's working at McDonald's in Broxton, Oklahoma on a branch timeline, which we saw in the previous episode. And you know, Loki tells Sylvie about how he met her in the future, the TVA's future, asks her for help, and she wants nothing to do with it, or she wants nothing to do with the TVA. Brittany, what was your take on this reunion of these two variants of each? I mean, she's a Loki, she's a variant of Loki, but obviously they have a very complicated relationship, I guess you could say.
I mean, she's him. I mean, how much more complicated?
I said complicated. Okay.
I know. But I mean, it was, I'm not going to lie. I got a little bit of secondhand embarrassment in a way, because it's like, you're confronting your ex, right? Like y'all just had a really bad breakup. Obviously she did a really bad thing and he's got to deal with, you know, that, but she obviously is a great employee at McDonald's, right? She's on top of it, refilling those straws.
And she's loving it. No doubt about it.
She's loving it. Oh, Justin, that was so good. Damn. Why didn't I think of that? But she, you know, she's started her life and then enters Loki, blast from the past and in a way. And he looks very hurt. Like he wants to cry when he approaches her and he wants to talk. And she kind of wants to give him the cold shoulder, but she's like, my break's in a few minutes or whatever. So they go and talk and it's kind of funny seeing Brad and Mobius in the background, because Brad's all like, this is awkward. And Mobius is like, we're not leaving until I get some pie. Like two different personalities, two different dynamics operating here at the same time, right? Of course, Brad knows something that we all don't know at the moment. So when Sylvie and Loki talk and he's explaining to her what he's encountered and how he saw her in the future, and she's just like, you know, I really don't care. Also, that sounds like something that's already been written and solidified, and we know that that's not true because I made sure of it. I'm thinking to myself, well then how has this come to pass? How was he able to travel to the future, see her at the TVA when the TVA looks like it's in utter destruction? So I'm curious now, how far in the future will that actually take place from the present, like Loki's present? You know what I'm saying? Not because he's gone back in time, but for Loki's present, how much farther in the future will those events happen? Because like I said, in episode one, he's in the temporal loom and he knows he's in the future because he sees the word skin written in dust on the side of the computer.
That's right.
So that, to me, I believe.
I'm going to say.
This is not far off.
No, I'm going to say season finale future, maybe. I mean, okay. There's only four more episodes, so it's not like it's that far
off. I'm going to go with penultimate feeds into the finale.
Good call. Good call on that one.
Yeah, I mean, if we learned anything from Game of Thrones, if you're going to like want to make a really good impact, you got to watch the penultimate. Like the penultimate is what sets up the mood, except season 8. Don't don't do that to yourself. Don't.
Right.
Don't. here in the chat, Amber says, talk about self-reflection. Good point. Zach says, I'm banking on F4 as Rama Tut, even in a cameo. Okay. I think I follow. But you might have to explain a little bit more. Are we talking about a variant of Kang? He Who Remains?
Remember we saw Rama Tut in...
Oh, at the end of Quantumania.
Right.
You're right. Also here in the chat, we've got Raheem asking, I was just wondering, like, Tony Stark always used to name his AI like Jarvis, means just a rather very intelligent system. Same goes for his other AIs. Then what does Miss Minutes from Kang stand for? I don't think that Miss Minutes actually stands for anything, truthfully. I just think it's just a very clever name because of being in the TVA, and it deals with time, and like you associate minutes with time, of course. So I take it in a quite literal sense. I don't think it's an acronym for anything.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah. So, oh, F4 equals Fantastic Four. Thank you. I was thinking Fast and Furious 4. I don't know why. That's just where my mind went. We're big Fast fans over here. But yeah, I think definitely he'll pop back up. Yep, agree.
Yeah, it's just not clear when Fantastic Four is going to happen.
No one knows. So. I mean, the writer strike is done, but the actor strike is not. So
yeah,
we're going to be waiting for a bit. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't casted them. I mean, not that we know, they haven't even casted the Fantastic Four.
I think they've cast Sue Storm. Is that her name?
Yeah, I mean, the rumor is it's going to be Vanessa Kirby. Speaking of the Fast and Furious universe, she was in Hobbs and Shaw. Yeah. So apparently she's going to play Sue Storm. The Johnny Storm is an actor. I think it's one of the actors from Stranger Things, which is a show that I don't watch, so I'm not familiar with him.
Same.
But we don't know who's going to play the Thing. We don't know who's going to play Mr. Fantastic. So I don't, that movie's a ways off, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Mean, 2-3 years, also, I would say.
I'm okay if it doesn't happen because I didn't care for the iterations that unfortunately has Chris Evans and Jessica Alba, and I didn't care for the reboot either. So.
Well, I mean, it's going to happen because Fantastic Four is Marvel's first family, first characters, and they're great characters. And those movies weren't terrible. Mm. Now, the Fanforstic movie that came out in 2016 was not great. It's not. Yeah, we might do a rewatchable about that someday, or a rewatch. But
and by we, he means him.
Well, maybe, yeah,
just to kind of I don't break know. It maybe down. Maybe Frank will join you.
Yeah, I need somebody to bounce it off of. So, yeah. Anyway, so you mentioned the Morbius talking to Brad.
Mobius.
See,
not Morbius. I know.
That mistake. This is the first time I made that mistake.
Aegon.
Well, that's the same name over
Aegon.
And over.
I know.
Morbius and Mobius are different names. I made the mistake.
Yeah.
Because I've had some technical difficulties, if you haven't noticed, but I'm back up and running, hopefully.
How many times do I have to tell you? Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. Mobius, though, talking with Brad over food, and like Mobius is like, he's like, I thought you were setting us up for an ambush. He's like, I didn't know you were setting us up for a great meal.
It was great.
We got the part where they're talking about Zaniac, and Brad's
that was supposedly unscripted. It was totally ad-libbed between the two of them. It was just kind of like, I think from what I read, it was kind of like, hey, we're going to set up the camera. You know, you're going to acknowledge this, but you're going to carry on a conversation and just go kind of thing.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Good job by them. They did a good job.
Yeah. It was great. It was a great banter.
I liked talking about Zaniac. Brad says it's elevated thriller. He's like, it's cinema, which I think is kind of a shot at Martin Scorsese, who several years ago, but he's continued to beat the drum that Marvel is not cinema, which I think is ridiculous. Marvel movies are played in movie theaters. Like, his movies are played in movie theaters, except for the ones that go to Netflix that are 3 hours long that you can literally sleep through the middle of one of them and not miss a second, because I did that with The Irishman. And I got to say, Overrated. I mean, like, maybe Killers of the Flower Moon is awesome, but it's 3.5 hours. And like, unless it's called the Snyder Cut, not sitting through it. So the Snyder Cut had like 50 heroes, you know, DC characters. So like, there's a reason. I don't sit through 3.5 hour movie.
I enjoyed The Wolf of Wall Street, as crazy as that movie is.
Yeah, I
thoroughly enjoyed it.
No, I'm not saying he's a
there's bomb. Other Scorsese films, but yeah.
I'm just saying, like, him taking shots at Marvel is like, come on, dude. Like, you're supposed to be above everybody, and like, you're kind of, you know, punching down, but I mean, you're also punching down at, you know, the most successful movie franchise in the history of movies, which will never be topped. Yeah.
Listen, we all felt some type of way at the end of Endgame. Yes. Okay.
Right.
Also, at time of recording, it's the day after Tony Stark makes the ultimate sacrifice.
His actual death. Yeah.
Yeah. So RIP to Tony Stark.
Yeah.
You know, he is Iron Man. Yeah. Hard to see. So yeah, that was
I'm not as good with the visual aids. That's Amber's job, not me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So no, I'm saying it's cinema. We all felt some type of way with Endgame. When Tony Stark died, and for me, boohoo all over again to this day when Morgan Stark says she wants cheeseburgers. Oh my god!
Yeah, if that's not cinema, I don't know what is.
That's magic.
Because it's
magic right there.
They make you care about talking trees and laser shooting raccoons, and you know they've done
an AIs that get bodies.
I mean, all of their characters are so well, you know, drawn and created
fleshed
and crafted.
Out,
come on, man. Like, you don't like it, but like a lot of other people do. So, you know, whatever.
Work and on, scene.
Yeah.
back to this banter. Right. Between
anyway, I thought it was nice for him to kind of like a little dig at Scorsese for his comments from a couple of years ago. Anyway,
presumably.
Yeah. So, Brad finally admits that, like, look, they're all in mortal danger. And
he's been antsy. He's been like, we need to go. Like, from the moment that he confessed, he's like, okay, I'm going to go back to the TVA. Yeah. Let me go back. And it's like, okay, well, we understand, or Mobius says, we understand why you would want to go to the timeline, but now you just want to go back to the TV. Like, what's going on? Did you set us up? And then to which Brad confesses that, Docs and company are going to blow up all these branches. Like, everybody going to die. Girl in orange shirt.
Everybody.
I know what I said. Everybody.
I've heard they're all getting tipsy too. Yeah. Damn, you beat me to it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm from Houston. Okay. This is what we do.
I live in Houston as well.
You're not from here, sir.
I've been here for a while though.
I've still been here longer.
Okay, fair. You win. You win. Hopefully the Astros will win tonight, because as we're recording, they are down 2-0 in the American League Championship Series to the Texas Rangers, and I'm not looking at the score right now, but hopefully when we're done with our podcast, we'll have a good thing to check out. But
I hope.
I don't know. My fingers are crossed.
And no one come at us about the Astros, y'all. Stop it.
If you do, I will fire
all you Cowboys fans who want to root for the Astros. Stop it.
They are different sports, though. In fairness to those people,
I know, but they're doing it, which is really stupid.
So
anyway,
as you said, Brad reveals, you know, Dox's plan. She's gonna bomb all the branching timelines. So Loki, Mobius, and Sylvie go stop Dox's operation, but unfortunately many timelines have already been destroyed. Mm-hmm. Which we get the line from B15. She's like, those are lives, you know. She looks at the timelines. Those are people, those are lives. And I've seen a lot of people be very critical of the fact that they're like, oh, those are billions of people. And it's, you know, it's probably, I don't know, hundreds of worlds. So, you know, it's probably more like trillions of people. But
yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably,
like,
it's probably almost on the same level as Thanos, right? You know, with Thanos swiping, you know, half the universe.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably on the same level. Yikes.
Yeah.
Zillions, Amber says. Zillions.
So she does the math and the visual aid. So
listen, girl's on top of it.
She would have, like, you know, like the whole breakdown of the formula for everything.
Yeah, right.
You know, Pi is probably involved, because obviously if Mobius is a part of it, Pi's got to be involved. 3.6. 3.16, I mean, sorry.
She's probably also gotten in touch with her other variants to confirm. So
yes, we hope so. So what did you think about the kind of the action scene here at the end? To me, this is kind of the weakest part of the episode. What'd you think?
I don't know if I would say weakest. I think in a way, not weak, it was just very slow compared to the pacing of the rest of the episode. And it was the conversation between Loki and Mobius with Key Lime Pie. To me, I understand why it was needed. I just felt like, is that something that could have stayed, or could it have been removed or shortened? And we could have, kept the pace going. Right. So for this action sequence where Sylvie has to tap into Brad in order to find out the plan, right, and locate Docs, she goes into warlike mode, right, and she's fighting off people. Loki is as well. They're both using their powers, and Mobius is also doing what he can. He gets one of those pruning sticks to prune the modified tempads, which, and this is part of the reason why I had to do the rewatch, because I was trying to understand what the purpose of the tempads were. And at the end of it, now I'm talking about it, I can't even remember it, but they were linked to, I guess, the different branches that Docs and company were going to go into so that they can set off like the time bombs and what have you. It was really interesting for all that to kind of finally unfold. And while they're fighting, of course, Docs is panicking. We've been compromised, do what you can kind of thing. Sheer panic, right, is setting in. And Loki and Sylvie join hands, and Sylvie says to him, like, don't think about it, or something along those lines, right? And with joint power, they're able to pretty much wipe out the rest of the loyalists and Docs and the time doors, or whatever those doors are called.
Yeah.
And just stop this genocide, if you will, right? It was kind of a cool sequence to see, Sylvie back in action.
Yeah.
Because she's been working at McDonald's. I'm pretty sure she doesn't get to do stuff like that unless, people in Oklahoma are just coming to McDonald's and trying to rob the place. Like in Coming to America at McDowell's, Samuel L. Jackson. I'm looking at you.
I mean, if you're working drive-through during like rush time, it might be that crazy. Who knows?
But again,
probably not in Brockton, Oklahoma. Probably not. Yeah.
Probably not. Don't know. Never been to the States. So, but yeah, it was, I thought it was fine. I liked how the beginning of the episode started with a fight sequence in a way. And then we kind of ended it with a similar sequence. So I was good with it. I was happy to see some actual action, fighting action, because I think it's always great to see these actors do a little bit more physical things other than just like sit in a room and talk. Yeah. So it was cool for me. I was good with it.
Yeah. Rikibi has a comment here. The end fight was like they were in a video game. I agree. It was, I think it might've been more fun if I was playing a video game, honestly.
Probably. Yeah.
I just thought like it was like kind of a rushed, like you had all these like great scenes and all this great acting, and then like you kind of have this like rushed resolution to defeat this person who is destroying hundreds of branches.
Is it rushed? I mean, once Brad finally like says the truth and the sense of urgency kicks in. I mean, listen, you and I work in a very reactive environment, right? When things happen, we got to move quickly. So it almost kind of makes sense for things to move very quickly in order for them to stop the purging of these branch timelines.
It's not so much that like they reacted quickly. They did the right thing, mm-hmm. saying, meaning they being Loki and Mobius and Sylvie, mm-hmm. B-15 and everybody. But I'm just saying like the resolution of it, which I mean, obviously we're going to get the fallout, I assume, in episode 3, but
for sure.
It was just, like I said, like the tone of the story kind of was sped up to me, as opposed to like you had all these great scenes and then now you kind of have this quick resolution, whereas we can get to the fight, but then maybe that carries over to the next episode, have a cliffhanger.
But you know, time moves differently in the TVA.
Time marches on. Yeah.
But I'm
like I said that. Yeah. So yeah, so that was the resolution of that. And then, you know, Loki tries to get Sylvie to join him to return to the TVA. And she says, you know, the TVA is the problem. It's broken. I'm going home if it's still there. And home meaning her McDonald's in Broxton, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And we see that she does actually return to that McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And she talks to Jack, who is the kid behind the counter, who he's waiting for his mom to pick him up after work.
I have a theory about Jack.
I think, I think we're going to talk about that here in a second. I've read some stuff too. So we'll get to that here in a second. And then, you know, he goes about his way. And then we notice that she still has He Who Remains Tempad in her hand. So.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified that because I knew it was some sort of like device that allowed her to move through time.
Quick. Yeah. They show. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't watch the recap before each episode, you're probably going to miss out on some things, but it was shown in the recap from season one before the beginning of this episode. So I'm like, okay, wait, but what is that? I just couldn't remember what it was. So it is a very quote ancient looking temp pad.
Yeah.
It's not as sophisticated and modified as digital.
Right.
Right. So, okay. Okay. That makes a lot more sense. That explains how she was able to, you know, open the door and get back to her timeline. Perfect sense. Cool.
So that's that. Let's get to what I think you're going to mention. So Eric,
well, real quick, sorry, go ahead. Real quick. Sorry. Did you happen to notice Sylvie's truck and what color it was?
It's a lime green Ford Ranger. Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to get all these hints of green. Sorry. One little thing I had to point out.
I didn't have that in my notes, but that's a good,
I like the nugget. Truck.
Yeah.
I like the truck.
Okay.
I want to drive.
You want to drive?
I want to drive. I'm going to go fast. Probably wouldn't go fast, but
no, burn a lot of gas, but, so one good thing, probably Broxton, Oklahoma, there's probably not a ton of stop signs or any traffic lights. So you're probably good to go.
Country road. Take me home.
A lot of farm to market roads, which I'm familiar with that growing up where I grew up. So anyway, so let's get to it. Eric Voss of New Rock Stars, who obviously is a huge star on in this space on YouTube. And not that New Rock Stars needs any help. They have millions of subscribers, but he put out a really cool video that I think everyone should check out. And his theory is that Jack, the kid behind the counter at McDonald's, is actually a younger Mobius. Now, Brittany, is that what you were going to say?
That is exactly what I was going to say.
Tell me why you think that's the case.
Not so much that I really truly believe in this theory. It is something that, like you, I read somewhere. It kind of has fitting qualities because, for one, Mobius is told that that's not his real name, according to Brad. Now, Brad could just be lying, right? Brad could have just been trying to get underneath Mobius' skin. However, if we do kind of keep up with that sort of logic, Mobius very much could have likely been named Jack. He could have been a teenager in the 80s. He very well could have been from Oklahoma because Mobius has a bit of an accent. Now, Owen Wilson, as Justin and I may know, happens to be from Texas. I don't remember.
Born in Dallas.
He was in Dallas. I couldn't remember if it was him or his brother that was born in Dallas.
Let me just jump in real quick. So as Eric Voss pointed out, Owen Wilson was born in 1968, which is 14 years, you know, before 1982, obviously. So meaning like, you know, Jack very well could be a 14-year-old kid. He's waiting for his mom to come pick him up. So he doesn't have a driver's license, not driving a car.
Yep.
So
also, however, 14-year-olds could work back then.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Well, maybe they could. I don't know that they'd be a manager. He seems like he's kind of the manager of McDonald's.
Kind of does.
That kind of shoots holes in that. But also the fact that like Broxton, Oklahoma, you know, regionally is not super far from Dallas, Texas. You know,
which is also known as South Oklahoma. No disrespect to those who are from Dallas, but a little bit of disrespect. We're in like a big game right now, y'all. Sorry. Not sorry.
Hopefully it's a series. Hopefully it actually becomes a series and not just scheduled losses to the Rangers. as the first two games have been. So that's kind of the theory. Also, Eric Voss's theory is that you don't see, like, you never see Jack and Mobius lock eyes, or they're never
in the same room at the same time.
They're kind of in the same, like, if they're in a scene together, they're kind of on the same side, but they never see each other. So,
yeah,
I think it's a worthwhile theory. Now, I and also think it's kind of weird, like, they are kind of showing us Jack. Like, we're getting, he's getting a lot of FaceTime for, you know, not a huge character in theory. So, it very well could be, you know, a younger Mobius, but will I be surprised if it's not? Yeah, I won't be surprised if it's not, because, like we were saying just a little bit ago, you know, these Marvel, like, fans have these theories and, like, we run with them, and then we get disappointed when it's just Jack is just Jack, and maybe his last name is Jack Boner, you know, like, because we had Ralph Dawson. Boner. Yeah,
sorry, Jack Dawson from Titanic.
There we go. Jesus,
he lived. They were able to both get on the door. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not doing a Titanic rewatch, I don't think, anytime soon.
Damn. Just kidding. Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree with Amber. It's an interesting thought to consider.
It's fun to talk about.
If they can flesh it out and make it make sense,
right?
Maybe that's how Mobius would be able to get to the jet ski, or I don't know. It's a fun thought, but I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock behind it just because.
Same boat.
Yeah.
We're the same boat. We're not the same jet ski or same ski.
Or the floating door. Right.
Jesus. Hopefully our podcast doesn't sink like the Titanic, but
hopefully
we get as popular as the Titanic was. That's nice. Yeah. One of the highest grossing movies of all time. So,
not the actual ship, but the movie.
I mean, the movie was pop. I mean, the ship was popular until it, you know, obviously went down, but
yeah.
So
also Jack Dawson, not a real guy. Sorry to burst people's bubbles.
Well, I just learned that right now. So I'm
really okay.
No, I knew that. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
Anyway.
So Brittany, anything that I missed that you want to talk about, or any kind of final thoughts you have for this episode?
I need to see a side series of Obi and Casey just being total TVA guidebook nerds and doing their thing and doing whatever they can to protect the TVA. But yeah, one thing that we also didn't touch on, and it was just very brief, is that Casey's on the task of locating Renslayer, who, as we know from season one, and then even with Loki having heard the recording of He Who Remains, she's in league with He Who Remains, and she's dipped. She has not been heard from. Well, while the great purge of branches is happening, they finally get a hit on Renslayer's tempad. So I think that's going to be the next pursuit for either the next episode or in the episode after that. But I would imagine the next episode, because, like, why would you leave that cliffhanger if you're not going to pursue her?
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah, I think we got to get some Renslayer Miss Minutes and some He Who Remains, because I'd read that Jonathan Majors was in half of the season. Mm-hmm. So we've only got four episodes left, so he's got to be in three of the final four episodes. So
I think we're going to probably see him in episode four.
Okay.
I want to say, like, probably from
4, 5, and 6. Yeah.
4, 5, and 6. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think. Okay. That would make more sense. But I'm curious as to where Renslayer has been. What has she been doing? Has she been following one of the variants of He Who Remains around? You know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder what she's been up to, because according to B15, she's just full of surprises. I like how she said that and had to kind of pause. It's like, she's just full of surprises. Like, she wanted to cuss out the bitch, but she just, she composed herself. You know, she's professional.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So I think that's all we got for episode two, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think episode two seemed to be a little bit longer than episode one.
Yeah, by like 5 or 6 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit more. It still paced well for me, like I said, with the exception of maybe cutting down the scene between Mobius and Loki in the key lime pie scene. I think it was just kind of dragged out just a little bit too much. Probably could have filled that with something else. But I thought it was a good episode. I do feel that on the rewatch, though, the episodes are much better on a rewatch.
Yeah, it really helps. It really helps you.
It does.
Yeah. Do we want to go to the chat to finish up today? Is there anything in the chat that we missed?
I think we're pretty much caught up in the chat. It's just we appreciate those who have been here, of course. You know, Amber, who unfortunately wasn't able to join us here on the live stream. Next week, fingers crossed, y'all. Next week. Raheeb as well. And Dead Tech Zach, or just Zach. and those who have also been watching. Oh, I can't forget Dinar. Dinar was the first person who commented in the yeah. chat before we even began the live stream. So to those who have been here with us for this live stream, thank you. It's awesome. And yeah, hopefully you're subscribed. If not, take the opportunity to hit that subscribe button and hit that like button and hit that notification bell. That way you can join us next week for our next review of Loki episode 3, title to be announced.
not TVA, but TBA.
TBA.
Yeah, we'll know. Honestly, it's probably out there somewhere. We just haven't looked it up. So
I don't know. I think they're being pretty tight-lipped on revealing the titles and any sort of synopsis of episodes. I think they're doing a pretty good job with keeping all that under wraps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I have a heck of time trying to find thumbnails for these streams. So, yeah. Yep.
And, you know, because we're doing this show on a Wednesday, we don't have to wait very long for the next episode. It's tomorrow night. As we're recording, it's tomorrow, Thursday night. So
that's right.
I'm looking forward to that. Also, the other show we're reviewing currently is Gen V, which also airs on Thursday night. So my Thursday nights are booked with superhero goodness. I love it.
Screw football. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, the Amazon football game is the worst game of the week. I hardly ever watch it. Now, you know, our Astros will be playing tomorrow. Hopefully they'll be attempting to tie the series and not trying to, you know, stay alive, but I might be watching some of that too, but no, I've got my superhero shows to watch. So I'll be happy with that.
Right.
But yeah, so, you know, now that you know what we think about the episode, Brittany, how can people tell us what they think about it?
As I mentioned earlier, subscribing to us, liking the videos, also joining us for the live chats. This is what's really fun about doing these live streams, y'all, is getting to engage with you and answering your questions, getting your feedback. That's what's always fun, because we are just able to keep that conversation going. And it's not just Justin, myself, even when we have
you
know, Amber or Frank, George, Tristan, Marcy, the rest of the watchers. But yeah, it's fun engaging with our audience. So appreciate that. Keep that going. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and Threads at Watchers Basement, and help grow our audience by using the same hashtag, Watchers Basement. Send us your memes, send us your articles, send us things that you want us to check out and review. We'll be happy to do so. And if video podcast is not your thing, we've got you covered with audio podcasts that are available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So be sure to follow us on those platforms and give us a 5-star rating.
Thank you, Brittany. I appreciate it. So for Brittany, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week. Have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.